Begin transmission.
You are listening to Corellian Run Radio, your route through hyperspace to the latest news on Star Wars: The Old Republic. Hi, and welcome to Corellian Run Radio. This is episode 36, and we are recording Friday, November 4th, 2011. I am here tonight with all three of the usual hosts. Carla, how are you doing?
I am doing very well, thank you.
Very good. And we also have Roxanne.
Hey, guys.
Hey, the welcome back. We missed you last time, I think. Was it last time or the time before? Never mind.
Oh my God.
Start again. Never mind. So anyway.
Wait.
Scratch that.
We're just glad to have you. whatever the situation is. I just want to say that this is the eve of the FanSite Summit 2 that is happening in a couple of days, so we decided to squeeze in our podcast before we all went off into the wild blue yonder, and that's happening on Sunday, November 6th through the 8th. So we hope when we come back we'll have some interesting things to say. We're not sure what the embargo situation will be, and we're not really even sure what we're going to be seeing, so we're just gonna go there and keep our fingers crossed that we can get a little bit of information for our listeners and then get a chance to just network with the other fan sites that are going.
Well, I hope y'all come back with lots of cool information. For those that don't know, our representatives are Kathy and Roxanne, and I am dying for them to come back with all kinds of good stuff.
Yes, and thank you, Carla, for stepping down this trip. Roxanne did not get to go last time, and it was really tough on her. So
yeah, no problem.
We're glad that she'll have a chance this time. All right, well, you know what? We're just going to move right on to our usual segment, the host challenge.
Fact.
You know it to be true.
Or fiction.
That's impossible.
All right, I am going to read three bits of information or three leads about the game. Two of them will be made up and not yet confirmed, and only one will be a fact confirmed by BioWare. And your job is to pick out which one is true. Okay, here we go. Lead number one. Cover will not protect you from special attacks like force leap or being pulled by a grapple. Lead number two. The requirement that guild leaders log into the official website to verify the guild is active has been lifted. Lead number three. The pre-order code, offer code, expires on January 20th, 2012. So, after hearing all three leads, which one do you think is the confirmed fact?
Carla, this is all you.
Well, I know it, because I know number one is so false. Okay, so I know that's false. I know number three is false. It has to be number two. In fact, I know it's number two because I read that specific thing. They said that they were making a little bit of changes on this guild phase three, and that was one of them. So
very good. All right, yes. Number one, cover will protect you. Actually, Georg Dollard had an extensive dev tracker post on the various abilities that a sniper or smuggler will be able to use. And he said that yeah, you will not. That's going to be kind of scary.
It is.
That's like once that smugglers or imperial agent probably is right undercover, you will not be able to just like close the gap or get him to you. So that makes him really dangerous.
I think that's awesome. I can't wait till we get to talk about that.
Yeah. And then lead number three, the pre-order code offer actually doesn't expire until like December 31st, 2012. So it's good for a year, which seems really long to me, but there it is.
That's cool.
All right. Very good. Excellent. Good job. Good job, Carla. All right. I think we are ready to move on to the latest news and tour.
From the Newsnet and beyond.
Oh Okay, that brings us up to the Friday update for October the 28th. That was not this Friday. That was the Friday before, where we talked about war zones. And there was a short video for each war zone. They made a new game systems page, which I thought it was totally cool. And we got to see Voidstar, and it started talking more about Voidstar. What did you guys think of that particular scenario for PvP?
The Voidstar one? Right. Yeah, that's the one with it's sort of like you advance, you can capture a section.
Yeah, one side attacks, one defends, and then you progressively capture more points.
I love what they say about it. You know, where they start off, they say, Voidstar is a derelict Imperial battlecruiser that disappeared during the Great War. Ooh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, it looks great. And then the video just looks great also. And you have people fighting, obviously, but having to, like, I don't know, set thing bombs off.
Explosives on doors.
Yes, I know.
I'm just not sure how it's going to work, you know, where you have to go and defend and one has to be offensive and one defensive and then you flip or switch or something, don't you? Isn't that what they said?
Yes. And I think, is it whoever?
So do you have to play every round twice then, basically, so that people do both?
It says
the match is broken up into multiple rounds.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
You know, so it says after the completion of each round, the teams switch sides between being the attackers and the defenders.
Kind of like in Left 4 Dead, where you have, like, two teams, and one side plays, like, the infected, and one side plays the survivors. And then, like, after you kill the survivors, you guys switch, and then whoever, like, got farther or, like, needed less time, like, has more points and they win.
Is that how that works?
You love Left 4 Dead.
I did. I don't remember playing. I think we only did we. I don't remember playing like with other people other than ourselves, though.
Probably not.
Yeah. So we never had that competition thing. It was just like try not to die. but yeah, that looks great. It looks really fun. Do we know if any of these war zones are by level?
Remember,
can you start playing them,
Didn't Georg say something when we were at the Fansite Summit, you know, in April about, or maybe it was Daniel Erickson, I can't remember, where you can have your friends join you at lower levels, even if you're at a higher level, and it kind of does. Right,
but I think her question is, like, you know how you can start playing Warzone Gulch when you're, was it, like,
10?
9, 10? But you can't do, like, Ultra Valley until you're 50, you know?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm sorry, I misunderstood what you meant.
Right, that's what I was wondering. I don't think we've gotten any information about
that. No, I don't know.
I would kind of, it seems weird, but I would kind of like if they staggered them by level like that. I don't know if they're going to, because they have that whole system where, yeah, you can drag in your friends who are lower level. It sort of was neat and wow, because it gave you, it was just part of that tiered level thing.
Yeah, something.
It gave you something to look forward to.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, we don't know. We'll find out more eventually, but they haven't, I guess they haven't said anything specifically like that. Nope. But, all right, well, so the new page, right, has all the three different videos with the three different war zones. So go check that out. It's a good page. All right, we're going to move on to phase 3 for Guild pre-launch.
Oh, yeah.
That happened yesterday. It was kind of one of those little surprise updates that appeared suddenly on the site. And so we're in the final phase of the pre-launch for guilds. And what is happening now is... What exactly changed now? Well, we have that new thing about how the people don't. I think what it is you have to check to see if your guild qualifies, meaning what, four people in your guild have to have pre-ordered, right? and you can go to the page and check your status. If you find your guild, there'll be like some little indicator that tells you if you're good to go. Is that kind of it for?
I can tell you what it looks like for us. You know, my guild. There is a big, huge, green little check mark that says "Guild is ready for deployment."
Right. So that's good. It's good that in the 3,000 member guild that you're in, that four people have pre-ordered.
It feels that big. It's not really that big, but it feels that big.
That's good. And there's also a guild FAQ you can check out. One of the things, I don't, how long has this fact been here? Because I was reading through things, trying to figure out how, you know, I think what did they say? The way it'll work when the game goes live is that, you know, if you have your account and it's tied to your guild, when you sign in on your account and you create a character on the server that your guild is on, then you're going to get this little prompt saying, do you want to join this guild? And every time you create a character on that server, you're going to keep getting that prompt. That's how I understand it. Is that how you remember?
I don't know. See, I don't think that they've actually, you know, said exactly how it's going to work. I mean, they changed the guild page.
Yeah, I just read something here today, in fact.
I mean, we were told that, you know, when this goes into phase 3 part 2, because right now what we're in is phase 3 deployment part 1, okay, which is qualifying all the guilds. Then I think part 2 is when the game actually launches. And the way it was explained to us was that when you log in, you will get a prompt. But I think that there's still some sort of question, at least in my mind, is if, you know, someone misses it or accidentally clicks it off, will they get it again? You know, because I know you only are going to get it once you accept it for one character. You know, so, you know, every character that you make is not going to be auto-invited to the guild. You know, they've already said that you don't have to worry about, you know, constantly getting those invites. But if you're on the server that the guild was assigned and you log in, I guess my question, because I just don't know and I don't see where it's written anywhere, is if someone boo-boos or crashes or whatever.
Right.
And doesn't get that auto invite the first time, will it happen on the next character? You know, I still think that hasn't been addressed. So there's still some questions, I think.
Yes, definitely. and then there are things like, you know, how will your server be chosen? And they're going to pick the server for you. But you, of course, always have the option to, you know, go, you can just pick up and go manually make a guild in a different server if you want to.
Correct.
I guess you're just, you know, you're just losing the ease of the auto import.
And if you're a large guild, that's really important.
Yes, I was just thinking about that. It's like, that would be awful if you had like 400 members.
No kidding.
Right. So, and yeah, that, which kind of segues into the next point about the server types.
Right.
Did you want to talk about that a bit?
David Bass confirmed in a dev post about the server types and the PvP rule sets. There will be a PvE type servers, which is player versus environment. There will be PvP, which is player versus player. And I'm just repeating this for those that may not know. Then there will be an RP-PVE server, which means it's a role-playing player versus environment server. And then there's an RP-PVP server, which is a role-playing player versus player server. That was added later. And he said, they're sorry that they didn't get this out sooner, but the RP-PVP server was not an original option. So if you're interested in choosing this for your guild, you need to change your guild type, you know, what type your guild is, because that was not always available.
Right. And you're going to have to do it manually. Did you say that?
Right.
Create a guild manually. You will not be able to use this pre-launch auto import feature if you want to play on the RP PvP server.
Right. Unless I guess they could always disband and start over again if they wanted to, but I wouldn't encourage that.
Right. I'm just saying there's just no way to do it automatically. Mm-mm. So if you're going to choose that type of server, since they added that in late. So
yeah. And they wanted to say that he also went on to say what the PvP server rule set was, that you're automatically going to be flagged for PvP, you know, when you log on. But there are exceptions because there are sanctuaries that mm-hmm. you will not be flagged. And that's your origin worlds, the capital worlds, and the Republic Imperial fleets.
Right. So, yeah, that sounds very similar to the way the WoW
right.
servers work, right? And then they also say this here, there aren't really going to be any RP rules. It's just going to be, called RP, and mm-hmm. you know what that means. yes, I think we talked about this in Sunny's Diner. Right. So basically, it means that people will go there thinking maybe there will be nicer people on an RP, PvP, more mature people. So whatever, we'll see. What about OTG? Are they thinking about changing to an RP?
Mm-mm. PvE? No, we're going to stay on PvE.
You're just, okay, all right. So, all right. Well, okay. So that was exciting. It's nice to be in this last phase because that just means the game is getting closer and closer.
I know.
All right. So, early game access. That was something that happened today. There was a new pre-order page that went up on the site. You go there and gives this nice little chart that shows what you get if you're, I mean, we already knew this information already, but now it's visually this pretty thing where what you get if you get the basic game, what you get if you get the middle range one, what you get the collector's edition. There's a little thing at the top that says early access with a question mark. And when you hover over that question mark, they talk about the early access will be determined. Well, we know it's going to be determined by when you signed up, but they said it'll be up to 5 days ahead of launch.
And they even added a little article to the front page news to reinforce that in case anybody missed it. It's called Early Game Access Details Revealed.
Right, right. I just saw that. That came up right when we were getting ready for the show almost.
Right.
so that's exciting. 5 days. I guess I thought it might be a little longer, but 5 days seems about right, doesn't it?
Oh, I thought it would be no longer than a week, but a minimum of a week. I didn't think only it would only be 5 days.
So in other words, you thought it was going to be a week.
I thought it was going to be a week. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't see it being any longer than that, but I really didn't think it would be any shorter than that either.
Right. So Roxanne, we're going to have to do our
science experiment.
Yes,
right?
We're going to do our, it's exactly what I was going to say. We're going to
do you want to add money to the science experiment? At which point it's no longer a science experiment. I think they call it a bet in some countries.
I have a bad habit of losing bets to you.
I know. That's why I feel really good about
this. See, I think Roxanne's not going to get in right away.
I bet you, Roxanne.
Okay, how much?
I'll get
how
in.
How much?
As early as Carla and I will get in.
I bet you $20.
Oh, wow. Old?
I have no idea.
I lost $50 too last time.
I know. $20 says we get in the same day.
Oh, no.
Yep.
No, it was like, when did you pre-order?
It was at the end of August.
It was
at PAX. She did it at PAX. No way. You're on.
But that's the end of August.
You're on. There is no way you're going to start the same day.
Right, $20 for each of you. This is going to be awesome. I'm going to buy the WoW expansion.
when did we pre-order, Carla? Did we ever
the
figure
day
that
it launched?
I know,
I didn't get my code until the next day. So,
but when was that? Do we remember?
It was like the 19th of July or 21st of July, something like that.
Yeah. So like a whole month earlier than right. Roxanne.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, it's not gonna make a difference. I'm really excited. I'm counting my money now. My head. I've converted
well,
it
don't
into
spend it all in one place.
So it lasts longer.
Converted into pandas.
Which lasts even longer.
All right, that's good. We're on record now.
That's right.
All right, what's next, Carla?
Okay. My favorite of all updates, the Imperial Agent character progression. If you didn't see it, it's out today. And it looks, I guess because it shows a female Imperial Agent, she just looks so badass.
Yeah, that's my favorite haircut I've seen so far.
Yeah,
true. You can't steal my favorite haircut.
What? No. Are we all going to have the same haircut?
This could be embarrassing. This happened in WoW, actually. Our avatars look kind of similar, and I was like, oh.
We forgot to call each other before we created these characters.
It's like when you show up wearing the same like shirt or outfit, and you're like, oh, damn.
Yeah, I'm going to make mine first because I'm going to get in before you.
yeah, you will be able to if you're right.
But anyway, I really like this because it showed the difference between the what the Imperial agent operative can do versus what the sniper can do. And now that I know all about this cover and how it's almost like, you know, the cover has become, you can't friggin' see me at all, you bad Jedi Knights, you know? So I'm really
Wait, are
excited.
You saying that cover makes you invisible?
Well, not invisible, but they can't force leap on your butt.
Yeah, it does look great. So I want to just direct people to, there were like 3 Georg Zoller Dev Tracker posts about how awesome the sniper is. So I would recommend that everyone go and read them, because he takes great delight in describing, you know, how hard it is to get a hold, to just get to the sniper, or what you'd better do to try to you know, close the gap, because
you
otherwise
have to run there,
gonna...
suckers.
Yeah, I know. I was really excited too, because I want to play a smuggler, and that really did make me want to play the sniper. And if I was playing an Imperial agent, I would definitely want to play the sniper, because I thought that armor progression was so much cooler looking.
I know.
I love the visor, the head.
Yeah.
That's like, and I don't usually like helms, but I would probably wear that one.
Absolutely.
Or show it, I should say. Yes.
Yeah, I thought the goggles looked a little goofy, but like that thing looked amazing.
Yes. So nice job, BioWare Creative Arts team. We really enjoyed your video.
Very good.
We are ready to move on to the next point, which is Revan, the novel by Drew Karpyshyn. It is coming out on November 15th, but you can read excerpts kind of all over the place. That there were a couple places. The first 2 chapters were released a couple weeks ago, right? And now they've now released excerpts from chapters, or maybe the whole chapter 3, and then chapter 11. Does that seem like an odd choice to you?
Yeah, kind of weird, huh?
Yeah, know what that's all about. But you know, eventually you're just gonna be able to read the whole book without having to buy it, if we're lucky. That's, I think a lot of people are very, very excited and pumped about that. So keep an eye out. Pre-order, I think you can get it pretty cheap if you do through Amazon or something like that. And go ahead and check out. We'll have links for those, for the excerpts of the book so far.
Alrighty, and that takes us to, which we kind of already said, the Fansite Summit on November 6th through the 8th at BioWare Austin. The following fan sites have stated that they're going. That's Ask a Jedi, Corellian Run Radio, Darth Hater, Force Junkies, Frag World, Mos Eisley Radio, R2DB, Red Rancor, SWTOR-RP, Tor Syndicate, Torocast, Tor Talk, and Tor Wars.
Yes, some familiar faces and some new ones. I'm looking forward to meeting, like, the R2DB team. They have a really interesting site people should check out. It's an item database.
Yeah,
type
it's going to be but it's also like a social place too. Yeah, but you can put your stuff on your podcast. If you're a podcaster, you can put it there. Or if you're an individual or a guild, or I mean, it's not just a database, but that's more of what they are. But they're also like a social site as well. So they seemed like really nice guys. I interviewed them when I was over at Tor Syndicate. So
yeah, that was, I'm going to check out, see what more was going on at their site, because I remember hearing about it way back then. Also, yeah, Force Junkies, they're kind of the new kids on the block in some ways. This is kind of like the franchise of the whatever game Junkies, right?
Right.
Isn't there a Rift Junkies and some other things?
We met them at PAX, didn't we?
Yep, we did. We'll get to hopefully talk to them a little bit more at this one. And then Red Rancor, Frag World. Well, Frag World is Jaro, isn't is
Yeah,
I don't
but
know
who's
who else
going
is
with
going,
him?
But so from Gen Jedi, so we've met him.
Yeah.
But anyway, looking forward to seeing everybody in a couple of days. That'll be fun.
Absolutely.
All right, let's just move on to a couple of quick mentions. Paris Games Week happened a little while ago, and the French is it a fan site or a guild? Ooh, sorry. Chimera got an interview with Alexander Freed, and it's a video interview. We have a link to that on our site. And also Republic Trooper, they did an interview with Georg Zoller, and he talks extensively about the Trooper, and it's a fantastic interview that you can go read at their site. I just want to point out the one little thing. There was they asked him, Republic Trooper asking, "We've spoken with some large guilds that are intending on running exclusively with troopers. How viable would it be to attempt flashpoints and operations with only the Republic's finest?" And Georg responds, "Absolutely possible," which I got really excited about. he goes, "The screen might get a bit busy from all the gunfire, but other than that, there's nothing that would prevent you from doing this." So that's very fun. I know that they talked about that before, how that was what people were doing, but I didn't know that was still viable. So I was really pleased to hear that it is, because that just sounds fun. It just sounds fun to try to do something like that.
It does.
So yes, go check out both of those. We'll have links in our show notes. And I think that is a wrap for all the latest news and tour.
Sid.
Strong am I with the Force.
Or Jedi.
Okay. Last time we found out that Carla has no problem claiming the last appetizer as her own, especially if she paid for it.
And we found out that both Roxanne and Kathy take a more subtle approach by pretending to be generous while secretly hoping that they can be the greedy ones. So far, our scores stand at Carla, -4, Kathy, +13, and Roxanne, +6. Remember, negative scores reflect a dark side tendency, while positive scores reflect a light side tendency.
All right, everyone, this is the test of the movie night. You are visiting a friend, and you decide to watch a movie together. Your friend pulls out a movie that you have been wanting to see for a while. The problem is, you know that you are supposed to watch that very movie with your other friend. It's been on your to-watch list for weeks, but the two of you just haven't found the time. What do you do? 1, say you're saving the movie to watch with someone else. 2, watch it with your friend, but don't tell your other friend. Watch it again later and pretend it's the first time. 3, watch it with your friend, and if it comes up later with the other friend, say, "Well, you kept putting it off, so I finally saw it on my own." All right, Carla, which one of these options would you pick?
I'm so all over #3. I'm serious. I'm one of those.
You're just trying to fix your Sith score.
Well, it's not that too. But no, seriously, if it is a movie that I've been wanting to watch, it would never bother me to watch it twice. I love watching movies, so it would not hurt my feelings to watch it twice.
Right. Okay. Roxanne, how about you?
This is a good one. I have done the second one, so I would probably go with that one. I don't understand.
That's very Sith-like. You lied.
I agree with you. I think the deception is like worse.
It's a white lie. It's a white lie.
I felt bad, and I did this with. No, I shouldn't even say it because it's actually one of my few friends who listens to the show. But now they know who it is because there aren't that many of them. This happened in high school a lot more. And I never understood it. Where I would be like, "Come see, let's see this movie. We really want to see it," and they'd be like, "Oh, I promised like my boyfriend I was gonna see it with him." I'm like, "What?" Like. I'm sure why do they care? They just, isn't the event of going with the other person the thing? Not that it has to be like new.
Yeah, but what's up with that?
It matters to people. So like,
it does matter.
So I understand that social thing enough to know that I have to lie about it, but I feel bad.
You're a Sith. That should be a dark answer.
You know what? Because I've been in that situation where you're like, "I want to see a movie with you." And you're like, "I can't because I promised someone else." And you're like, "Oh."
That makes no sense to me.
No, well, that doesn't make sense. But you're like, "Well, now you can't see it with me. And I'm a little sad." Like,
at least funny. I was honest.
Yeah, that's right.
With everybody. I'm good.
It's funny how sometimes our dark side choices seem like the honest one. I don't know.
Neutral is always like the kind of like cowardly jerk one.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, Carla, you have chosen the dark side. It's a movie. There are dozens of movies you could watch with your other friend, and no one should get so attached to one title. And Roxanne, you have chosen the neutral path. What your other friend doesn't know won't hurt him.
What about you, Kathy?
If they figure it out, then they know that you lied, which is actually worse.
I know. Yeah, you know what? I would totally do and have done the middle one where...
You are both bad. Well,
you know what? Maybe I'm just with... This happens between me and my husband all the time because we especially... kind of a variation of this. And I should say that this was sort of... It was inspired by a suggestion by some random OTG member who sent in a Sithogetic question, and Carla can't remember who it was, so I'm sorry.
I'm bad. I'm
you
sorry.
Know who you are.
I love you anyway.
But yes, because this happens to me and my husband all the time, especially when we, like, if there's like a TV series we're watching on HBO Go or Netflix or something like that, well, it's like, you'll watch it together, and then like I will, you know, I have time and I want to know what happens next, so I secretly watch it, and then I have to pretend that I haven't watched it.
You just gave yourself away.
Well, usually I admit it after we're done. It's like, oh, I have a secret to tell you. And he goes, you already saw this, didn't you? I said, yes.
Especially, I have a kind of, I don't know if it's really that interesting. I have a story sort of about this. When I was watching Battlestar Galactica, like on DVD with mm-hmm. my friends in college, like me and my friend Carrie were watching it together. And I like this one day couldn't like wait. So I watched like another episode, even though we're supposed to watch it together.
Right,
and
exactly.
Then she came back and we were rewatching the episode together. And I blew it because something happened and I said something. I forget what it was. So I was like, oh, that's going to be important later. Something like, you know how bad I am at lying. I can't keep secrets. And then she just kind of looked over me. She's like, have you seen this before? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, so have I.
Oh, that is too funny.
So we watched like half the episode and then I was like, all right, we're going to the next episode. So because we're so considerate, we like wasted half an hour of each other's time. And we're both just like,
I think y'all both deserved a negative score on this one. Oh, Lord. Okay, guys, you can read all about the past Sith or Jedi test on our website at CorellianRun.com. Keep score and see which way you lean.
All right, that sound means it's time for Community Buzz, where we take a look at what the fans are talking about. All right, so there was like a little interesting event that happened earlier this week. There was a lot of people, a lot of fan sites that were upset about the way that the invites for the fan site summit went out. And there was like this big sort of brouhaha, a big explosion of a rage cast. And a lot of things were said and a lot of feelings were probably hurt. In the end, people they ended on a strangely friendly note, even though there was a lot of stuff said. People kind of shook hands at the end, and then a lot of the fallout since that podcast has been that there's been a lot more talk between fan sites and the BioWare community team. And I think that by now, tempers have sort of simmered, which is good. I mean, people have kind of, you know, they've come to terms with things that people said. And we didn't really want to, everybody who was involved talked about it a lot. But I think what we finally decided is that this was an issue that was so important. It was like super important to the fan sites and to, in general, and to the fan sites involved. But not so much of interest to a lot of just the regular listeners. And we thought, this is kind of like one of those things where we're like, really, we can't stop talking about it, but really only a few of us are the ones that care. So we just thought, you know, let's not even really go, you know, into it. A lot of stuff has happened a lot. And actually Sunny's Diner did a really nice podcast, a really good sort of calm analysis of everything that happened.
Sonny Ravencourt is awesome.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, no, it's a really fantastic show. I was really impressed with it.
Yes,
it's just like conversational and analytical and really just level headed.
Very articulate.
I was really impressed. It was, if anything good came out of this whole thing, it was that. Yeah, that show probably.
Yeah, I think so. They actually got a little of a notoriety because people were saying that they were a fan site that maybe should have been picked, actually. That was how kind of it started. And then they got some, they just got some nice buzz when they did such a good job of talking about it. But so anyway, if you care, you can go, we'll have some links, you can go listen to the podcast and that talks about it, and so we'll just leave it there for now. But what I wanted to talk about actually is because it got me thinking about fan sites in general and how we talk about these games and how other people, maybe people the gaming press, talk about the games, and you know what kind of coverage are we really supposed to be providing? And, you know, what is the definition of biased and unbiased coverage? One of the things that people were complaining about was that, you know, like a lot of these podcasts are not, that they're so biased. They're so, you know, in BioWare's pocket that they can't talk objectively about the game. So
I think in BioWare's pocket is a really adorable version of, I think, what was said.
Yes.
It sounds absolutely precious. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind so much.
We're not going to get into it. So anyway, yeah, but you know, that got me thinking. That's like, you know, are we supposed to be these, you know, paragons of journalistic integrity and, you know, and follow these ethical codes, or are we just hobbyists talking about something that we really enjoy and hope that some people will listen to us? Yeah, I don't know. Carla, when we started this, why did we start this?
For fun. And for, you know, to me, when what my thoughts were when we started it is, number one, I love Star Wars. Number two, I wanted to play this game and I wanted it to be an awesome game. And I was praying it would be an awesome game. And so I started following it really close. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to follow it this close, why not? Let's talk about it. And I've always wanted to do a podcast. And so when we started, you and I started talking about, well, what do we want to do for it? I go, well, I want us to, you know, to provide information. I want us to be a resource out there. And I wanted us to be able to talk about what was going on out there in the tour world. And I wanted us to give us our viewpoints, you know, what we thought, not what, you know, somebody was going to tell us to say.
Right. And of course, you know, we're doing it. We picked a game that we think we're going to like.
Right.
So it's kind of like, we're not going to pick a game that we can be totally objective about. So maybe, is it possible to be unbiased? I mean, when you're doing a hobby fan site type of deal?
Well, for me, it's kind of hard to say that, you know, we're totally unbiased because we did, you know, pick something that we enjoyed. But I know for a fact that there are things that we've heard come up about the game that we're like, what? You know? So it's stuff that we personally may not agree with, you know? And so I think that we're articulate about that.
Right. So, yeah, there have definitely been, you have been upset about, not upset, but you don't like space combat the way it is. And I remember when we were talking about advanced classes, when we were told that we're probably not going to be able to change them, we didn't get mad, but we said, all right, I don't think this is the right way to go. And they eventually changed it. So, so yeah, I mean, we have opinions. We say that we did not get an email from David Bass saying, this is the position you need to take. Or please stop complaining about this. they don't try to you know, control what we're saying. Obviously, that would be silly. But yeah,
you know, I think it's really tough because the objectivity thing is mm-hmm. that you know, this isn't hard-nosed journalism, and the problem with that is, you know, if you've ever seen the way like video games as media are covered by, like, for example, I don't know, Entertainment Weekly staffers, you know, you always read those and you're like, this person has no idea what they're talking about. And video games are becoming more and more popularized and part of, you know, pop culture. But there's still, I mean, there's like, there's decades of background that you kind of, if you don't understand it, you're not going to be able to cover it well. So if you are covering it, like a game from a podcast perspective, like us, if you have that hobbyist background, that I don't think that that's a bad thing. I mean, you look to hobbyists because they're passionate about the thing that they do. Complete objectivity, one, is absolutely impossible because we're all humans who right. have like thoughts and feelings and biases. And I think a lot of times what people are confusing, just because of the connotations of the words, are the concept of bias and the concept of honesty. And, you know, you guys, like, anyone who listens to the show, like, they know who I am. Like, I love BioWare. That's not a secret. I am part of this fan site. And that's part of honesty. Honesty comes from admitting that you have a bias, not pretending right. that every word out of my mouth is completely objective, because it's not. It's like, you know that I like BioWare. So everything that I say, you can kind of take in that context. No one can listen to, and this probably is true of, I'm going to say it's true of every podcast out there. You listen to them for 10 minutes and you kind of understand their thoughts and feelings. So the whole thing of this show is biased or the show is unbiased, they're just words that are kind of like thrown around because they have like positive or negative connotations. But that's not really how, that's not how coverage works. And to pretend that it is, it's just like, it's sort of disingenuous, I think.
Well, right. And are you biased if you give somebody a positive review, and you're unbiased if you criticize them all the time? Is one bias?
Yeah, yeah. That's part of that's part of the problem with like the gaming, the internet culture that surrounds gaming, where we inherently believe that a negative opinion is worth more just intrinsically than a positive one. That you can see that in the whole like fanboy mentality. So if you like something, then like, oh, you're a fanboy, we can automatically like discount everything you ever say. And like, I love Yahtzee and Zero Punctuation, but because he's really smart and clever, and he's like, he's an entertainer, you know. But that, like, that popularized times 100 and multiplied times 100,000 in every corner of the internet, it's just really oppressive and horrible that people think that, yeah, being negative, being cynical is like the cooler thing to do, and it makes your opinion better. It means that, like, you know, you're smart and the wool can't be pulled over your eyes, and you're totally not like a sap who's in BioWare's pocket. And it's like, that's like a problem that like the internet has, like, as a culture, just that like people are kind of freaked out by passion and positivity, which is really sad, but it's also kind of not my problem, except when people attack me for liking things.
Right. So yeah, it was just very interesting, you know, because and the reason it came up is just because I think some of the fan sites felt that they're, well, I guess they felt that the 13 that were picked, or specifically maybe the 8 that were picked again, tend to be too positive. Maybe that's where that came from. I don't know. I guess if that's the way it could be looked at. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm positive because I actually do like the game. So if that's a bias, liking something, you know, that's just where the listener is going to have to know that's where it's coming from. It's, you know, and I think that you, a regular listener, yeah, will know. Well, you know, you'll know this is, oh, well, we tend to like this type of thing, or we tend not to like that type of thing.
The problem is that when bias becomes like an actual issue is when you use it to like cloud your judgment. This seems so obvious, but I feel like I have to say it. When you use it to cloud your judgment, or you ignore things that like aren't really there, or you, it just like dilutes your perception. Like, I don't know, I don't want to, like, make more enemies, but, you know, like, there are those gamers who think that gaming was the greatest it ever was in the late 80s and early 90s, and they're like, game design is horrible now, and, like, Nintendo was the only developer who could ever make a decent game, and Mario forever. And, like, that's a legit bias, because you are, like, closing yourself off to, like, to see how gaming has grown, and you're unwilling to take other points of view, and that's not what, like, liking BioWare and generally agreeing with them is, because, like, you know, we take in all feedback, and we'll, like, I love debating people on things, and I won't just, like, shut you down because I disagree with you. It's just, yeah, there's a difference between letting your biases become that's all you think, that's all you are, to, like, having a leaning towards thinking one thing over another, because that's what everyone does. That's just, like, the way your brain is wired.
Right, right. So it's important to know, or to let your readers or your listeners kind of know your bias. And let's move on to some of these articles that came out. There was a press embargo that was lifted a couple weeks ago, and a lot of the gaming press were able to post their experiences, their hands-on experiences. They got into testing for, is it a couple of weeks? Something mm-hmm. like that. They tested and they were able to talk about the early leveling thing. And we have on our site links to a lot of the different, there's probably 20 articles on this page. And I just want to pull out a couple of them because I thought this is exactly what we're talking about. We had, Rock Paper Shogun. No, sorry, not them. They did something else. massively. Jeff Rehard? I don't know. Rehard? I don't know how to pronounce his name. His review, he states up front, he says, I'm a sandbox guy, and I'm rarely titillated by MMOs that stick to the straight and narrow. And he goes, that said, I do enjoy linear diversions, and few titles do that better than Tor. So here you go. Because like a lot of his article is pretty negative, actually. He starts with Tor's not half bad. You know, that's his ringing endorsement. But you know, he says where he's coming from. So when you read that, and when you read the rest of his review, you keep that in mind. You know, this is okay. This is the kind of thing he doesn't like. So he's not going to be like, whoa, this blew me away. And when you hear that, you know how to, you know, filter what has been said. So there was another, Chris Higgins from MMORPG. He starts with, I will admit I'm a jaded Star Wars Galaxy player. And he goes on for that. And he goes, I was pleasantly surprised. And he's changed his view of the game. So, yeah, that's the kind of thing that you get, and I hope that our listeners get from us. I mean, they know our style. They know we've been here for a while. So if we say we like something, you know, they know where we're coming from. If we don't like something, they also, you know where we're coming from. Yeah, I guess.
And they let us know.
What?
And they let us know if they don't agree with us.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the three of us sometimes don't agree.
Exactly.
So, so yeah, it's just it's an interesting dynamic. You know, we're a fan site. We're not the New York Times.
Right.
We're not trying to put ourselves off as anything else. So anyway, yeah, I would encourage everyone to go, and if you, just to move on to this whole review thing, if you missed the articles, there's some really good ones. And I have to say, did you get a chance to read any of them, either of you?
I read most of them.
Which ones? What?
Like the embargo, all the, mm-hmm. the articles that came out.
No.
Yeah, there were, I would have to say in general, I think that they were pretty positive, weren't they?
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. So, you know, and it came from all these different sites. So that's good news. I mean, that's good news for Tor. And you know, nobody said anything. At this point, I think people know what the game is. They've heard enough.
I would think so.
Yeah. And I think it's okay. Like some of these articles, I think one of the titles was, it's WoW with lightsabers.
Oh, man. And,
yeah. But you know what? I think we're at a point now, if someone had said that a year ago, there would have been a lot of complaining and a lot of, you know, objections. But I think that people have now kind of, they understand what the game is like. And when someone says it's WoW with lightsabers, it's not something people flip out over because right. we know what they mean. I know, Roxanne, I said that to you once, didn't I?
Yeah.
And it made
you. I don't know.
So, all right. Any last thoughts?
Like every week,
I say that you flip out. You do.
and then that you're like, oh, it plays exactly like wow, and I'm like, stop saying.
Well, but in a good way.
The one thing that I really appreciate about the fan sites that seems to be a little differently than, you know, using your reference of like Entertainment Tonight and things being written by people that are not intimately familiar with a particular subject, is the one thing that I appreciate about the fan sites is they do care about this particular game. And maybe we are a little biased when all of us, I think every single fan site out there.
No, we definitely are. It's like you can't run a fan site unless you do it as a labor of love.
Right, right. And I think we all share that labor of love. And I think that it shows no matter what our viewpoints are and no matter what, you know, how we see it and no matter how we present it to our own individual communities, we still have that one thing that draws us together and unifies us, and that is this game, you know, yep. and our love for this game. So I guess we all are biased.
Yep. And that's the point, I guess.
So y'all go listen to Sunny's Diner.
We'll yeah, have a link seriously, to that. Go listen to them now. Stop yeah. listening to this. What?
Yeah. Yeah, and we actually will put a link. We were on their show a few weeks ago, so I don't know if you missed it. Carl and I had a good time with them, but yeah, definitely check them out. Don't. And I would say that if you're going to check out for them for the first time, and the one that you listen to is this one where they talk about the whole Rage cast,
like Summitgate or something.
Summitgate, yeah. That's not their usual format. It's a lot more serious than it usually is. But you know, you might want to just check out one of their regular podcasts to get a better feel for what they usually do. But all right, well, let us move on to some thanks. We have reviews from Thrawn 1818, who is in the US, John Chesh, who is in the UK, and Pathos Bedlam in Australia. And thanks, the three of you, for writing positive reviews on iTunes. Those written ones really help us stay up in the rankings so that people can find us a little more easily. And I'm sorry if you live in a part of the country, a part of the world that is not maybe English speaking, and I'm not as likely to check. There's like over 100 places to check, and I just don't have time to check each one. So I'm only checking the ones that are English speaking. But if you leave us a review in a different country that is maybe not as obvious to me, then email us and I'll go and check and I'll be sure to say your name next time. And if you can go and subscribe to us on iTunes and Zoom.
And you can contact us through our website at CorellianRun.com. We have a Twitter and Facebook button over in the upper right-hand corner. Just click it and it'll take you right there. You can leave your questions or ideas for discussion topics on our forums or on Twitter or even by voicemail. You can leave us a voicemail message at 281-766-4511. That wraps it up for us here at Corellian Run Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you again in a couple of weeks. Until next time, I'm Carla.
I'm Roxanne.
And I'm Kathy. May the Force be with you.
And may a Jedi Knight never force leap your ass.
You've been listening to Corellian Run Radio, a Star Wars The Old Republic podcast. Tune in next time to hear Kathy say...
Do we have to do the what did you do this week? Does anyone actually have something interesting to say?
No.
No.
Like, I've been at the doctor.
That's Bill really cool. And...
Yeah. That story is kind of amazing, but I mean, you don't mm-hmm. tell it.
At the dentist and servicing my truck. Mm-mm. No, I don't have anything important to say.
I would be fine if we skipped that conversation every show. actually, because I feel like I always say the same thing. I know, but
So what that really means is we each individually have to think about what we're going to say before it happens, which I never do,
leading more interesting lives, I guess.
Yes, that's right. That's the other option. Lying about it might be easier, though.
And transmission.